I had taken a loathing to my gentleman at first sight. So had the child's family, which was only natural. But the doctor's case was what struck me. He was the usual cut-and-dry apothecary, of no particular age and colour, with a strong Edinburgh accent and about as emotional as a bagpipe. Well, sir, he was like the rest of us. Every time he looked at my prisoner, I saw that sawbones turn sick and white with the desire to kill him. I knew what was in his mind, just as he knew what was in mine, and killing being out of the question, we did the next best. We told the man we could and would make such a scandal out of this as should make his name stink from one end of London to the other. If he had any friends or any credit, we undertook that he should lose them. And all the time, as we were pitching it in red hot, we were keeping the women off him as best we could, for they were as wild as harpies. I never saw a circle of such hateful faces. And there was the man in the middle, with a kind of black, sneering coolness. Frightened, too, I could see that. But carrying it off, sir, really like Satan. "If you choose to make capital out of this accident," said he, "I'm naturally helpless. No gentleman but wishes to avoid a scene," says he. "Name your figure." Well, we screwed him up to £100 for the child's family. He would have clearly liked to stick out, but there was something about the lot of us that meant mischief, and at last he struck. The next thing was to get the money. And where do you think he carried us? But to that place with the door. Whipped out a key, went in, and presently came back with the matter of £10 in gold and a cheque for the balance at Coutts, drawn payable to bearer and signed with a name that I can't mention, though it's one of the points of my story. But it was a name at least very well known and often printed. The figure was stiff, but the signature was good for more than that, if it was only genuine. I took the liberty of pointing out to my gentleman that the whole business looked apocryphal, and that a man does not, in real life, walk into a cellar door at 4 in the morning and come out of it with another man's cheque for close upon £100. But he was quite easy and sneering. "Set your mind at rest," says he. "I will stay with you till the banks open and cash the cheque myself." So we all set off, the doctor and the child's father, and our friend and myself, and passed the rest of the night in my chambers. The next day, when we had breakfasted, went in a body to the bank. I gave him the cheque myself, and said I had every reason to believe it was a forgery. Not a bit of it. The cheque was genuine. "Tut, tut," said Mr. Utterson.